What do you mean about how the feminine has been acting?
Well, I think like that feminine narrative for so long has been, you know, like that you're kind of submissive, that you're quiet, that you don't. I just dreamt about this last night, about like being taught to be like the good girl. And I mean that in quotations of like, that you move through a party and move through the world without really disrupting things. You know, like that you're very submissive and coy and you don't say exactly what you mean. And then to come into this place of like balancing it with a masculine of like, how do you do that? And actually like take a hold of the reins, so to say, you know, and like make life what you want to make it without the connotation of it being bitchy or that you're too driven, you know, like that. I think there's like a balancing period that's happening right now of like a lot of females, including myself, that have gone into that really masculine drive of like, I have to prove my worth to the world. And in doing that, I'm forgetting how to receive for myself, like how to receive my own source of happiness, how to receive like my own safety and security rather than objectively putting it out on the world for somebody else to carry.
Yeah. So this is going to trip you out. I'm really not kidding. I had a dream about you last night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you were getting married and and you had a, like a wedding coordinator or whatever. And, right. And I felt like they weren't doing a good job. So I was going around like telling people how to do it.
I love it. Like get back.
And then so the wedding wasn't in the dream. But then the next thing I knew, I was at like the reception at the house where the place was at or whatever. And
right.
Everybody was talking and then you walk in and you just look like, ugh. And I'm like, are you all right? And you're like, no. I'm like, what's up? And you're like, I don't know if I should have done that. I'm like, And I said, hey, you know, even if it lasts 2 days, it's just an experience. You're not bad.
Mm-hmm.
We think about that.
I mean, ding, 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 you know, like when I did get married, for the second time, like the way I approached that was very much of like, oh, well, this is just an occasion. Like people are just coming to this occasion to celebrate because we place so much significance on things in the world. I'm not saying that like marriage is not significant, but like to use that as like a descriptor of who we are really bothers me of like, just because you get married and you're a wife, that's not the whole like purpose of your existence. Or at least for me, like I know when I was choosing my lifetime, I was not like, oh, I'm just going to get married and be somebody's wife. And that's all I want to aspire to in this lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, so I think your dream is probably really pertinent in the sense of like, I really struggle with like giving way and giving into societal expectations. You know, being from the Midwest, it was always very much of like, you get a job, you get married, you have the babies, and that's, you do your one time a year vacation, and like, that's life, that's success, that's happiness. And then to really be in this place of like, you know, all of those things that I sort of bought into, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, if I bought into them, I can make them not significant. I can make them mean just like, oh, it's just an occasion for 2 days, or, you know, like it's just a ceremony that celebrates people. Like that's all it has to be. It doesn't have to be this big thing.
Yeah. You and I were talking before about how Mars right now is retrograde on the South Node in Aquarius, and the moon is crossing it as we're speaking right now. And it's this feeling of, how did I end up here? Like, I don't even know if I voted on this. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Next week, whenever this is coming out, on the 5th, Chiron's going to go retrograde in Aries. And I think Chiron in Aries is making us realize how many blows we've taken, how we've played it small because we thought we had to, how I've noticed this happens a lot in relationships with people who have placements in Libra, is that you feel like you have to play it small in order to be loved. And it's like, wait a second, I'm not this small. And in fact, it hurts to play it this small. I'm hurting myself. So evaluating that stuff. And I think that that's in response to the collapse that's happening in Capricorn, that old rules, old structures, old traditions, old expectations, old, this is how it's supposed to be for life. That's all collapsing. I mean, collapsing. Yeah. I've been saying a lot in readings, I'm not sure that the institution of marriage is going to survive this.
I don't know that it is either. I mean, I think there's so many things there of like, how did I get into this? Like, I'm having that personally in my relationship. And then I also have that within my relationship with myself, you know, of like, oh, how did I get into this place where I chose to play it small? And I chose that over and over and over again in various circumstances, like being my partner's teacher or doing work that was not like fulfilling to my life or stepping out of my body and not exercising and eating well, like whatever the narrative has been, like, why has it been that it's been easier to play it small than to be like my infinite self? And on like a collective scale, why is that information not, why do I not have people that I can be like, oh, here's the representative of being there in their infinite selves here. Like, that's what I can mirror myself off of. Like, we are so void of people living fully in their infiniteness.
Yeah. And, it's, I'm noticing that I'm looking around and going, why have I been shaped by what other people are doing? Like, getting your control of your life back by going by your own rules, by going by your expectations. And if this doesn't fit, I'm not staying here. I'm not going to contort myself into it. I think there's been a lot of contortion going on.
There has been a lot of contortion. Yeah.
I'll tell you why we don't have any examples of people living in their infinite selves. It's called patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
We are told how to live. We're told what to find important. We're told if we don't go by these expectations and paradigms, we won't survive. That is pro-survival.
Yeah.
That's a real problem that will be addressed as we get closer to 2020, honestly, is that everyone should be able to live their best life possible and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be in relationships, institutions, jobs that are killing you because you have to, quote, earn a living.
Right.
How about we're alive?
Right.
We're alive. And we should be able to do what we're called forward to do and exalts us rather than suppressing us. That patriarchy is a very real system that keeps us dependent, suppressed, worn out, barely getting by. And because it's using us, for our labor and our consumption. It's on purpose.
That's so true. So interesting that you're saying this, because I had this exact conversation with a girlfriend last night, because we're both traveling right now. And she had messaged me and she's like, what is it that women need to compete with other women and one up each other? Like, where did that come from? And I'm reading this book right now called Burning Woman. And it talks about like the systems of the patriarchy and how like we were once vetted against each other, women opposing in one another, because during the witch trials and being burned, right? Like that it was unsafe for any of us to support our friends, because if our friend was being burnt for being a witch, guess what? We're going to go down with them, right? And so like the book is like the premise of like, oh, this is part of the reason why there's always this competition among women and always like I have to one up you. And being a mom, like I've, you know, that's a whole other world of where there's this competition of my child did this first and that, that whole thing.
Yep.
But it's so fear-based, and like to be in a system and in a community and in an infrastructure that is actually supportive of the individual self, and uses that as a way to come together and uplift humanity, like that, I mean, that stuff keeps me alive, because otherwise, like, this stuff would get really oppressing to be within the system of the patriarchy and also feel like the only thing I have to aspire to is, like, fear and suffering, and, like, I have to keep myself small because then I don't make too many waves, and God forbid that actually happens.
And you better believe that's on purpose, that they, that keeping women or the feminine, because this exists within men too, keeping the feminine or women both separated, in competition, fighting each other, divided, smaller groups, makes it so that we don't grow, so that we don't join together, makes it so that humanity doesn't rise up in its own power. It's on purpose. That I keep repeating that now, trying to really like convey it effectively for people. And I think mostly it's because it took me by surprise. I really spent a long time in women's studies or just in college in general, but also in the workforce, thinking, surely that's not on purpose. Surely right. this is just a side effect. Surely we just need to spread more information, or there's something's misunderstood, or we didn't mean to do this, let's fix it. But man, I got up close and personal with patriarchy whenever I was in the corporate world, and it is mm-hmm. on purpose. It is. And
yeah.
That I think for me, that hurts to know that that's being done, but it also makes me angry. And because sometimes, we're not angry enough, right? We're not angry.
Well, enough. Yeah. And the opposite of the anger is to internalize that, which I think is also to go back to this scale. Like, men are taught, hey, we shouldn't be that angry. And if we're that, so what do? We internalize it. We make it ours. It's like, oh, I can't outwardly express that. And then that turns into and feeds depression because we're not able to use our voices effectively. We're not able to release our rage. I mean, look at the goddesses that portray rage of Kali and Hecate and Oshun. Like, those goddesses are really feared because they can empower their rage. And like that is where I think I have more hope of, like, if I can tap into that, because it's just a current of energy, no matter what it is, like if it's a rage or if it's sorrow, like that is just an energetic experience I'm having. That's how things can shift. It's not going to shift from us being complacent and be like, oh, ho hum, it's okay. I may be a little angry, but I'm just going to downplay it. Like, shit's going to change from that, like invoking and owning that deep rage of like, this stuff's really fucked up and I'm not going to keep myself small anymore. I'm not going to buy into this system. I am not going to be in relationship. I'm not going to parent this way. I'm not going to compete with you, whatever it may be, to liberate ourselves. Like, and to keep that in mind while it's being dismantled. That's like the big work for me of like, okay, things are just, which makes me very uncomfortable, but if I can remember the bigger picture of this is finally happening because the way it's been set up, patriarchy, is it has not ever served humanity to its best.
That's right. It's a liberation. It's a liberation. Mm-hmm. And that same feminine rage, again, this is within men too. I talk to people all
about, absolutely.
I talk to people about this all the time in readings about Black Moon Lilith. Black Moon Lilith is the Lilith that's being folded back into our wholeness because the strong, powerful, dominant feminine, the story goes, was cast out into the underworld and declared evil. That's a violence against humanity. It's a violent act to declare that. It keeps us suppressed. So Black Moon Lilith being folded back into our wholeness is when you feel that strong, powerful, feminine rage inside of you go, I mean, it comes out in little ways too. Like, did you fucking hear what he just said to us? Yep, I did.
Yeah.
Listen to Lilith. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's talking about. I don't think that she's allowed to run the show because she's so dominant. She'll burn the whole fucking thing down. And, you know, we need to keep some structure up. But we need to listen to what she has to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to embody that. I think that's been a real personal liberation of mine of like after buying into the system for so long, you know, like you and I both did the corporate and I was in state and government work. So, you know, like that's the same in the corporate, like it's based upon the patriarchy completely. And to like start to come to this place where you are acknowledging and holding and embracing and experiencing the rage for yourself in order to liberate yourself. Like, you know, it's so easily for me to be like, okay, I'm really enraged at the current administration and the way that a lot of things have been handled. And I can put that outwardly into the world of like, this stuff needs to change because people are suffering and I'm not okay with that. But to flip the script and be like, okay, but where am I choosing my own suffering? And am I equally enraged with myself for believing that, for buying into it? And how do I liberate myself out of it? Because, you know, that's not going to change outwardly in the administration if I'm not willing to be an agent of it for myself in my own terms.
That's right. If you see it in the world, it exists within you because mm-hmm. everything literally is one. The
absolutely.
Illusion of separateness is just our human experience. There is no separateness.
Right.
And you bring up a good point. I think it's important to sit with the rage and decide what you're going to do with it. Because mm-hmm. one tactic of a flailing system is to make us name enemies amongst each other and fight each other.
Right.
They will right. want us to do that. And we're going to have to go, I'm so angry, I'm not going to give in to that. We have to find common ground. We have to build networks. We have to heal how we've hurt each other, Chiron and Aries. Mm-hmm. Chiron going retrograde from Aries back into Pisces. I'll talk about it more on social media or whatever. I think the pull maybe for people to start sinking back into thinking this is too big, we can't possibly heal it, and we're going to be hurt forever. And and really what Chiron is a healer, he's not a wounder. Chiron, what Chiron is trying to say is that you don't live here. You don't live in suffering. You live in the process of healing out of it. You live right. in the process of healing out of it. Remember that Chiron and Aries happens around liberation movements. So we start, we're going to have to face how we've hurt ourselves and each other and then do something about it. That rage has to right. go somewhere that is pointed in the direction of exalting and liberating rather than destroying and hurting further.
Right. It makes me think of like when I work with clients that are trying to lose weight, and that whole thought process they have of like, oh, well, I've got to this weight and I can't possibly lose it all, right? Like there's no way I'm going to be able to return to like this healthy state where I feel really confident in my body again. And I feel like I'm the weight that I desire to be. But then that like putting that energy into it of like, okay, well, maybe I can, but it's going to take me one step at a time. And as long as I'm not willing to give up on myself, then all of a sudden you can see that transformation happening, you know, but like how quickly we can buy into that. Like, well, it took so long to get here. And now that we're here, this is how it's always going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've gone through that process before where I lost a bunch of weight, and I vividly remember like working on it and nothing happening and going, I might as well quit. I'm like, no. And once I decided, no, I'm not quitting because that's where I'm headed, and I needed momentum and I needed intent to get to where I wanted to go and not fall back into, I'm always going to be like this.
Right.
I think that's true for the collective.
I completely agree.
You can easily fall into, it's always going to be like this. It always has been. It always will be. You hear a lot of people saying that the older we get. So like, I mentioned this before, I think. Last time we talked, I mentioned my age. I don't know why I do that. Anyway, I'm going to be 45 this year. But I'm noticing people around my age, and when you get around midlife transits, you either push forward to a new second half, right? Or you go, it's over. It's always
right.
I am where I am. This is it.
Right. This is all I had to aspire to.
Yes. I have. This is where I've landed. That's it.
Let's hope that's just not the case.
I mean, I can tell you it's not the case because the astrological things that happen during midlife transits say that that's not it. That you're being push. The midlife transits happen around 35 to 45, and it's where the false you that you hold up to make other people happy collapses, and the true you comes up. If people can embrace that, then their true you is in charge of the second half of life. If you're like, I only identify with the false self, and that falling away, well, my life is just over. Well, there you go.
There you have it.
But that's the same thing is happening in the collective now. Who are we? Who are we? Are we this false paradigm that we didn't even vote in, really, that's really controlling us? Or are we something else? We can be something else.
You can. And it takes like a lot of commitment. And I think also that like the personal perseverance to really sit with our shadows and name it. Like I think, and this goes back to when we were talking about the feminine and the masculine or light and shadow aspects, like there's so much of spirituality that is named as like, oh, well, we should focus on the light. We should always focus on the light of let's feel better. Let's have compassion for other people. And then I'm not saying that that's not important because obviously there's a role for it. But the reality is like this Black Moon and Lilith, if we don't empower and embrace the shadow aspects, we can't shift the other aspects into the light. We can't, like, until we acknowledge that shit's going down that does not vibe with us, it's extremely in shadow. If we turn a blind eye to it, it's going to continue to manifest itself. We have to be able to embrace that shadow aspect of ourselves in order to flip the script for the collective.
Yeah, and I'm speaking as a double Scorpio. I'll tell you exactly what shadow is. Shadow is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We're hurting. Shadows come from hurt. If you say, "Oh, that's shadowy. It's not mine. I'm gonna deny it." Well, then it's gonna fester.
It's gonna come back twice as bad.
Mm-hmm. Your pain is not gonna sit there and go and just disassociate and not be yours anymore.
Right.
Something has happened to you. Look at it. What is it? Yep. What happened? If you bring it, if we'll look at our shadows honestly and say, "No, this really is part of my human experience. This hurt me." This hurt. Ooh, I have an emotional charge on that one. This hurt me, and it's hurting me now because I keep pushing it away. I keep denying, I keep enduring, and it's just sitting there, going no, 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 no.
Oh yeah,
eating at you.
Oh yeah, completely waking up in the middle of the night. And I think that's always like, you know, what I told you. I think last time we spoke of like how I've always journaled because I was an only child, but also like the importance of figuring out what the hell are your tools. Like, what are your tools? Like, obviously you do astrology readings, which are incredibly helpful to shine a light because we don't have all of the answers. Like, I mean, I do believe on some level that we all inherently know everything that we really need to know, like that tabula rasa perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we're so up and close into it that we can't see the bigger picture. And I think that's really helpful to remember of like, okay, there's tools for me. I can go to nature. I can sit with a healer. I can have a reading done. I can do journals. I can have time with my friends where I'm really like owning like, hey, I have this shit. It's really tagging along with me and I don't know what the hell to do with it. Because that's, I think, where we, like, the last time we talked about isolation, too. Like, that's where I have found I go more into isolation is when I'm like, that really fucking sucked. That really hurt my heart. And my spirit is dampened from it. And instead of being able to say, like, this is my experience to my journal or my friends, if I can't acknowledge that, I just hold back. And then I become very isolated. And then I become depressed and sad because I'm not owning my true self and my true experience as a human being in this world right now.
Yeah. and then we hold it in the body, right?
Yeah.
That's part of Chiron and Aries too, is healing how we are as incarnated humans. And I think that very often we're not incarnated enough, that we're not in the body enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize we're holding trauma in the body and it's hurting us and it's breaking us down. And so if we can be in here more, not less, more, well, that's where transcendence is going to get us. More in the body, not less.
I think that you're right on the money with that. Like, I'm seeing so many more people come to me about like having body issues and, you know, and not like, oh, I don't like the look of my body, but like, hey, I have organs that are out of whack. Like, hey, my cholesterol is really high. Like, hey, like there's things going on, health issues that I am having that are causing me to like have to look at my body. And I think for a lot of people, especially when we haven't leaned into the hurt and the pain, we have a tendency to try to come up and live really in the mental state, leave our bodies. And whatever happens to our bodies, we disassociate from because they're just like this vessel that somehow we were born into. But the people that I've been seeing lately are like, I know I'm having really big body issues. And like, that's your body calling you back into presence. Mm-hmm. It's your body getting your attention to say, hey, something's out of whack here. And if something's out of whack in your body, it's going to be out of whack externally as well. So I am in complete agreement with you.
Yeah, that hurt is a sign that something's wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I noticed that a lot of people can notice. I noticed that a lot of people are aware of something's going on with their body, but they don't want to talk about it, or they're too scared to find out what it is, or they don't want to do something about it.
Right.
I can't figure out why. Like this should be like the body is, your body's a temple kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
It should be an instrument. Like it should be one of your tools. It should be able to tell you something's wrong. I'm hurting. I need healing here. Mm-hmm. Here's where you were traumatized. Here's where you need help. It should be a divination tool, right?
Oh, I view it as a divination tool. I mean, especially like, you know, if you get the basic premise of this, right? You go into a really shady area and like, you can tell that there's bad things going on. You feel that like tightness in your stomach and you're like, oh, that, like, to me, that is your body acting as a barometer. It is communicating to you the same way that a pendulum would, or the same way that listening to your guides would, like that tells you something. The same way I feel like when you have a pain or an itch or an ache or you've got high blood pressure or whatever it may be, like that is a divination tool completely. And I think it goes back to your previous point about like, as the double Scorpio, of not wanting to feel the hurt, because I think because we've had so many lifetimes of suffering and we now know like in DNA, like the suffering is passed on genetically, like in our DNA structure for up to 7 generations, like there is a part of us as human beings that may not remember that like physical suffering, but it is encoded in our DNA where our bodies are like, hey, things weren't really bad and I experienced a lot of suffering and it may not be the safest place for me to stay in my body, to experience my body's sensations or experience what's going on. And I think that's where a lot of that's coming from, is like on a cellular level, we are remembering the trauma and the suffering that a lot of us withstood.
Oh my God, that's fascinating. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, right?
I talk about this a lot in the astrology, like in the astrology, there mm-hmm. are places you can look to see what a person has been through karmically, past life,
right.
If that's part of your belief system.
Right.
And I talk about it all the time. Here's what probably you've been through and keeps getting repeated over and over, and here's how you can heal it, right?
Right.
And I often talk about how there is no linear time, right?
Right.
All yeah. time is happening at once.
Absolutely.
And there are multiple versions of you, multiple incarnations of you happening at the same time. And what I've been saying is that all charts of every version of you are interacting with each other. And right. you're saying, no, literally we're passing through DNA our experiences forward.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Completely wow. confirm me what you're saying. You were right on the money. Well, yeah, it's really fascinating.
So let me see what you think about this. Like I've been considering, if all time is happening at once, right?
Right.
We can heal forward. Like whatever mm-hmm. we do now has an effect on what we perceive as the future, right?
Right. Yep.
But shouldn't that mean we can heal backwards too?
It does, I think. Yeah. I absolutely believe this. I believe that the work that I'm doing in this lifetime is not only my work for any future life that I will live, but it's also a healing for my ancestors, for those that came before me in the ancestral like versions of myself that are in previous lifetimes. I am doing the work to heal them. That way I can evolve, or there's nirvana or whatever you may believe, but it is to systematically help. I mean, it's the ripple theory. It's the string theory. It's like that everything is connected, and that if I can change the vibration in this physical body, I'm changing the vibration in all the bodies before me and all the bodies that will come after me. And yeah. I believe that for myself, and I also believe, like as a mother, like that's my role to do my work, is because I've passed my DNA into my son. Mm. He on some level has some of my ancestry and my story lineage of like, this is the suffering we bought into. And if I can shift that for myself, then I can change his DNA structures.
Yeah. I talk about how, just applying that to astrology, right? So
right.
I talk yeah. about how our solar system is coming out of darkness back into mm-hmm. consciousness as of 2012. And that Regulus, which marks like the leadership of the world, has gone into Virgo. The leadership of the world is who's present, who's in the body, who's contributing to healing, who's contributing to raising the earth, our presence in the earth, who's of service. And so I've been saying to people, because you're incarnated right now during a time when we're coming out of suffering, everything that you do to heal, but in particular your Chiron, everything right. that you do to heal your ancient suffering heals all of you, at all versions of you at the same time. It's like taking one thread, one through line, and going whoop, and yep. pulling through all of them. And the image that comes to mind often for me when I'm in readings with people is that all versions of them have been in prayer or pleading or mm-hmm. meditation or, oh God, please, one more chance, that kind of stuff. And there's a moment when their prayers are answered, even if it's in the final breath before they die, where mm-hmm. they feel like God has answered their prayer. And it's not God, it's you.
Right.
You have. Like, it's like all, if you're incarnated right now, if you're involved in the healing of you now, there's a moment when all versions of you go, please God, help me. And all of us are like, give me five more minutes. I almost got it. I almost right. got it. Hang on. I almost right. got it. And then you pull it through for all of them.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. In the sense that, you know, when I sit and do readings with people, I oftentimes will have their guides or and other ancestors come through and sit with us. And it's the same thing where I feel like that there's this moment where there's like, hold on, take this deep breath, and how do you come back into like that infinite self, for like to put a term on it, right? And the healing work is, there's this moment of liberation. I think that's where I also bring in the food aspect of it. Like, if we are liberating ourselves, then that means like everything needs to be of the highest consciousness as possible. If we are healing our ancient wound, when there was starvation, there was famine, there was being withheld food as a way of manipulation and control tactics, right? Like, all of those aspects of like, if we are going to be truly liberated and heal all of our ancient wounds, then there has to be, it has to be matched out outwardly of what I put on my skin has to be of highest vibration. The people I keep around me have to be at the highest vibration. The food that I consume has to be extremely clean and of the earth and not polluted and with, filled with chemicals, because that stuff dampens my ability to really sit with my true healing.
Yeah. And that's, so you're talking about, well, my opinion is you're talking about Uranus and Taurus. Uranus and Taurus uh-huh. is going to have all of us completely revolutionize what we value or what we find important. And we can't create new worlds if we're continuing to poison ourselves. We can't create new worlds if people are dying without water. We can't create new worlds if we're destroying the earth. Like, the basic root issues of what is important to life.
Right.
What's important to life? That's another retrograde that's about to come in. Uranus is going to go retrograde back into Aries. And often whenever I'm looking at the astrology, I'll say, why? Mm-hmm. Why do we need Uranus to retrograde back into Aries? Because these energies have consciousness. Why is that necessary? Right. And I think it's that when you start to really understand that, no joke, we're poisoning ourselves and the earth, and it's under the system, a system that is oppressing us on purpose, it can right. feel like, holy shit, we'll never get this right. It's too big. And I think
it's huge.
Uranus going back into Aries, I think is going to say, didn't we just discover you're stronger than you think? Didn't we just mm-hmm. talk about that 5 minutes ago? You've already forgotten. And then mm-hmm. we'll go, oh yeah, I forgot. And then we'll go back.
When does Uranus retrograde into Aries?
Uranus retrogrades August 7th.
Oh, so it's coming up.
It's coming
up. There's a bunch of retrogrades happening, right?
Yeah. So Neptune already is. Saturn already is. Yep. I think Pluto is. Jupiter is. Mercury's going to go retrograde. Uranus is going to go retrograde. Chiron's going to retrograde. Yeah. It's a lot. And again, why? Why? Right. Why are we having the initiation of a retrograde season at eclipses that are aimed at us healing our humanness. Like right now, it's the last eclipses where, you know, you get to be happy. Your life is important. And it's somewhat theoretical at this point. Now we're going to get a series of eclipses that involves Cancer now. Whenever it says you get to be happy, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? And I think the lesson is going to be, I want to feel cared for. I want to care for other people. I want to feel safe and at home in my own life, no matter what's happening around me, right? Yeah. So healing our humanness is happening when a lot of energy goes, everybody take a nap. Okay, stop right where you are. And so why? I think that come next spring, if you're in this part of the world, if you're in this hemisphere,
right?
January, February, March, around then,
right.
When we're starting to come out of these retrogrades and then go forward, I think it's going to be a 100-yard dash fast to 2020 of Saturn crossing Pluto and Jupiter being there, and that goes back to the 13th century. So this time of turn inward. Are you okay? How do you feel? What do you need? How have you taken blows that need your attention? Get yourself well on purpose, because you're going to need to be well.
Yeah, I'm really getting that a lot with myself and with the people I'm sitting with too. It's the same thing of like, okay, it's just the same thing of like, you can't neglect anything any longer. You don't have that luxury. So if I am having these experiences where like I get in a fight with my partner, then guess what? I have to hold space for myself. I have to feel the emotions that come up through it. I have to honor the experience I'm having. I have to journal about it. I need to talk to girlfriends about it. I have to coat myself in oils. I need to smudge, whatever it may be. Like there seems to be like this real clear timetable that sand is quickly evaporating of like, it's no longer an option to not fully and deeply take care of yourself.
Right.
Whatever that looks like. A lot of us don't know anymore, you know?
Yeah. And there's a time constraint. And I hesitate to say that because I don't want people to freak out and go, what do you mean we're out of time? Like, I don't want anybody to freak out, but Saturn is the timekeeper. Saturn's in its home sign. You don't have the luxury of, I'll wait 5 years. No,
right.
No, you won't. You're going to do it now. You're going to do it right now. It's getting ourselves well is under the gun of, no, right now, you don't understand. So whenever the old is falling away, I see people trying to hold on to it like, oh God, I can't live without this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let it fall away. Whenever you're recognizing that partnerships or where you live or your job is not where you belong anymore, get your ass out of there. Don't be like, no, I'm staying here no matter what. You can't. You don't understand. You can't. You have to get out of here. It's like a building being demolished. I mean, if a building's being demolished, not only do they evacuate first, but even like rats and raccoons and skunks and everything that's living within the walls of the thing are running out of it too.
Right.
Everybody out. Get out.
Yep.
This thing is coming down.
Yeah. It feels like a festering wound to me in a lot of ways of like, I was with one of my really good girlfriends last weekend, and I'm having this like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to be somewhere else, like experience. Cause I just got offered a teaching job, and her husband had come home and he had a horrible cut on his leg. Right. And had just like, let it go so deep that I was like, he needed stitches, had let it go for like a week. And then I had gotten there and I was like, okay, well you need to go outside. And like their daughter picked some plantain for him. And they got Manuka honey and were putting the plantain and the honey on the wound. And he was like, oh yeah, that's better. And I was like, this is such a symbol of what's going on. Of like, you can't let that fester and swell and like the infection spread up your leg and infect your blood. Like it's really, now is the time to like do those really sweet acts of like honey and plantain and going into the natural world. And like, what can I cultivate, whether it is friendships or a new life in a new location or a new partnership.
What do you need? Whenever the macro is shifting in really big ways that we don't have control over, at the same time that the North Node is saying, just concentrate on what you need. Who are you? What makes you happy? Mm-hmm. How would you feel safe, more safe in your life? How would you be exalted more? What do you need? And St. Chiron and right. you is where are you hurting? Really pay attention to where are you hurting? No, like trying to just go, I'm going to endure it. No, you're not.
Right.
You're not going to just endure it. You're hurting yourself. Stop. I think I may have mentioned this last time, but I was asking Chiron, is there anything I can do for you? Because he's also wounded. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he said, well, my experience was that he said, please, yeah, you can do something for me. Please stop hurting yourself. And I think that's the message for all of us. Stop.
It's the message for all of us. Yeah. I really got that very strongly yesterday. I was, so I'm currently outside of Sequoia National Forest, and we were going in hiking, and I was just having one of those days with my partner. I was like incredibly irritated, very annoyed, pretty angry, snappy. So I made my way down to a river, and I plunged in really ice cold water that was super liberating. And I sat there and I was like, okay, guides, what message am I not getting? Because this is not ease for me. Like this, I don't like being snappy. I don't like being angry. I don't like being annoyed with a person. Like what is the true message? And I completely got too, that it was like, where are you not showing up for yourself? You got your ass parked in this river. You sit here and feel the sun on your skin. Like this is where you're supposed to be at. How are you not taking care of yourself? Because you're putting it on somebody else. Like stay in this river for the next hour if you have to. It's really, I think, such a beautiful reminder of like stuff can go on in the outward world for sure, in our relationships, in our work lives, and in our family lives. But if we cannot figure out like what is it that I truly need to heal my wounds? Is it just silence to feel what it feels like to be in my actual body for 5 minutes? That can be profound. And giving ourselves the permission to experience that, because I think we've all been denied, or we've thought we've had to seek permission for so long that we've had to ask for it. Is it okay for me to sit with myself? Is it all right if I take a longer lunch today because I really need to sit and have tea in the park? Is it all right if I go out with my girlfriends? Like we're so used to asking permission rather than being like, no, I damn well deserve to be in my sacred self. And this is what it looks like.
Yeah. And as we're talking right now, we're in a grand trine water. And I think it's important to recognize that no matter what is happening in the astrology ever, it's always in our favor, but we have to listen. We have to listen to how mm-hmm. we're being guided. So how you feel matters. If you mm-hmm. feel like you need something, get it for yourself. If you feel like something's hurting you, it is. If you feel mm-hmm. like you don't belong somewhere anymore, move. Listen right. to how you feel matters. And we've been told over and over and over and over again that how we feel is not reliable. And that's a lie. It's a lie.
It is.
It's through how we feel that we're being guided. I think a lot of times people are like, I think they wonder, how do I know what to do? If you'll just
right.
Be still, listen to the silence, listen for how you feel, listen to, I don't know why, but I feel like I need to get out of here. Good.
Right.
Go do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also just like that willingness to ask. And also recognize that we are our own healers. You know, like when I was divorcing, I had this like, oh, I need to ask psychics. Oh, I need to go here and I need to ask for clarity. And like, not to say that that's not helpful, because there's definitely a time and a place for it. But then also to remember that like, if we're really still and quiet and willing to ask those questions of ourselves of what do I need in this moment? What would lead me to my happiness? That you as your own person can solve these problems and create a completely different reality so much faster and with such greater ease than sometimes asking other people to do it for you. Like I think there's a lot of people that want to go and do like soul searching from somebody else's perspective because it helps them from tuning into their own and like to really feel that true sense of liberation. I think that it comes from, okay, having a willingness to sit with ourselves.
It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.